Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm Zach Harper. We got Black Trey. We got Big Waz. We got Rob Lopez on the ones and twos. Coming up, a Bay Area legend, the man who brought down Nike for a couple of hours. But first, we got an Eastern Conference showdown, an Eastern Conference Finals preview tonight between the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, you heard me. You heard me, Waz. Eastern Conference Finals preview. Bucks-Celtics. Celtics 117, Bucks 113. The Celtics hit 24 three-pointers in this game, but needed a little bit of help down the stretch to pull this one out at home. What did you see from the Celtics in this game other than just hot shooting?
First of all, they're going to meet in the second round. That's a one. Second of all, no. What I saw is that, like, honestly, like, we say that the 24 three-pointers seems like an anomaly, but a lot of those threes were open.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't think Milwaukee's figured out how to play them straight up, meaning without switches, like, meaning hedge your screens and, you know what I mean, push the ball handler way away from the ball, push people baseline. Like, I don't think they figured out how to guard Boston straight up yet. Obviously, they've got, you know, the entire year to do it. But, you know, I know a lot of people are going to say 24 threes, like, you know, this is encouraging for the Bucks, which, by the way, it is. You know, if there's one thing I hate more than Boston, it's seeing Zach Harper be right about something.
Oh, but which is often, which is often wise. There's no Jaylen Brown in this game tonight, Trey, but Giannis got whatever he wanted.
Snore. All right, look. Die by the three. That was the Celtics tonight. They almost gave that. They wanted to lose this game, honestly.
They tried to give it away.
They tried to give it away. It was a couple possessions. I know you don't want to hold the ball towards the end of the game, but you got to make smarter decisions. I know the three was falling for everybody, but you can't take those. Every rebound was a tip out to a three. It's like, yeah. I don't know if they were trying to, you know, one up the Warriors or set a franchise. I don't know what they were trying to do, but they were trying to lose this game. I still don't see Giannis making anybody better. Of course, he's going to get his stats. It was a very impressive one dribble, two step to the line, showing his length. You know, we know that about him. He's going to get what he's going to get, but they can't, you know.
But I can't look.
I think there's no growth through that, though. Even with Bud, I thought, like, you know.
Well, the growth, I think, is in
teams like this.
Yeah, I think the growth was in Middleton, and Middleton was bad tonight. Middleton couldn't do anything.
Yeah, and he's been hot early the first 2 weeks, so everybody had him riding those coattails, and then we kind of got brought back down to reality, which the record in the first 10 games are amazing. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely didn't have them, you know, looking so well so early. Yeah. But again, they still look like the same Bucks to me. You know, down the stretch, they're going to go to Giannis. Giannis is going to – I want Giannis off the ball. I don't want him ball dominant. You know, I thought they looked good early in the season using Giannis over the top and posting him up.
Yeah, well, I think they played differently. Maybe I'm wrong on this, Waz, but I think Boston got them into a lot of those bad habits of last season, because they didn't look like the Bucks that we've seen in the first seven games.
I think early on, I think what Bud's doing is he's finding a way to leverage the attention that Giannis is drawing. And I saw a couple of early kickouts from Giannis when, like, instead of starting on his full drive, he passed it, or he came out of a hard screen, got the rock, gave it up quick. Like, they're getting better at the real shit, but Boston is one of the three best defenses in the league, so they're not going to let them do all of their new stuff, right? They haven't perfected it. They haven't perfected the counters yet. But from what I've seen, I'm impressed. They are doing way more shit than Jay Kidd had them doing. Like, period. And
Jason Kidd.
Come on, man. We can't be talking about 2 years ago, man.
What do you mean? He was on the team last year. He was the coach last year.
Man,
what I'm saying though, Trey, is like they don't look like that team. Like, of course, at times it bogs down to one-on-one, whatever, but like they have new shit that they're doing.
Yeah, and you got Gordon
Hayward. After the big point guard, I'm over it.
Your guy Gordon Hayward looked pretty good. And again, like we both agree, Eastern Conference Finals preview.
Okay.
Bled didn't want to be there.
Moving on.
Listeners, FanDuel, you got to sign up. Daily fantasy basketball with big cash prizes. Pick a new fantasy team every single night. You don't have one for all season. That's boring. We don't do that stuff anymore. Don't worry about injuries. Don't worry about draft busts. Don't worry about waiver wires. Pick players from a bunch of that night's matchups. There's more ways to win on FanDuel than any other place. FanDuel has late scratch problems fixed. Pick nine players, drop your lowest score. If a player is a late scratch, it won't ruin your lineup. You don't need to watch out for player news all night. Just pick your team and be confident. You can make a mistake and still win. New users, this is important. You got to sign up with this. New users get a $5 deposit with a $5 bonus deposit with a $5 deposit by using FanDuel.com/B2B. FanDuel.com/B2B. You get paid. We get paid. Another big game tonight on TNT. The Pelicans lost to the Blazers 132-119. No Anthony Davis in this game, and yet the Pelicans still hung around, guys, because Julius Randle is a monster so far this season. Showing yeah. Last year wasn't a fluke. He had 29 off the bench. Lillard had 26. Yusuf Nurkic had 20. Was able to take advantage of no AD. But the Pels, they just couldn't hit threes, and the Blazers could. And I think it's admirable what the Pelicans have done without Anthony Davis in the lineup this season, but they're still losing those games, and now they're 500.
My favorite to win, Julius Randle, Sixth Man of the Year. Man, he looked like a power forward version of James Harden, getting what he wanted, just abusing people down low.
Just a bully.
I was loving to see Nurkic complain, because come on, just figure it out, dude. You're getting muscled down there, and just hoop. But, New Orleans showed a lot of heart and kind of showed that they can compete without Anthony Davis. They're not going to win games without him, but just showing that, certain guys get to step up and become who they were. I thought it was very rough to watch Tim Frazier start. I was out on that. I rather would have seen Ian Clark or somebody else get those minutes. And Damian Lillard is still very good.
Yeah, he can hope. Waz, did you enjoy this game at all? I know you were hurting with the end of this game.
No, but the thing is that this game is indicative of the new NBA in the sense that maybe back in the days when you think about the Baron Davis Hornets or the Ray Allen Bucks, right? Like, people who we know are going to be also rans, we can just appreciate them for the 4 and 5, 6 seeds that they are. Whereas now I look at these teams as like, peeling off Dame Lillard on a team that mattered, that would be nice. The AD going to a situation that actually mattered, that would be nice. Like, that's the prism through which I look at these teams now.
Yeah.
And not to say that the game is ruined for me, but now I'm just like, man, CJ, where could he go that would be interesting? Because these teams don't have a shot at anything. And it's not even that they don't have a shot at anything.
Waz, they're trying, Jennifer. What are you talking about?
No, it's not that they don't have a shot at anything. Neither do the Sixers, but they're building towards something. Neither of these teams are building towards anything. So I just look at them like, man, these pieces would be nice on meaningful teams.
Okay, guys, now let's talk about the hottest team in basketball. The Sacramento Kings, 146. The Atlanta Hawks, 115. How about these Kings? De'Aaron Fox, 31 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds. I'll just give him the line of the night now. We're not even doing that yet, but he gets the line of the night. Buddy Hield at 27. The Kings are 10th in offensive rating. They were worst team in basketball last season with that. Are we buying or selling the Kings, Trey?
No, but I like the culture reset. They're trying to escape what they've been doing over the years. I hate to compare Fox and Ball. Really happy for this kid's success. Buddy Hield, another MIP guy. He's been on fire. I don't know how long that lasts, but Fox is kind of figuring it out. And I think Gary Temple is, we should give credit for helping him with leadership and, taking this game to the next level.
I got a confession to make, Zach.
Uh-oh.
I haven't watched a single second of Sacramento Cowboy basketball this year.
Wow, you're missing out, Waz. This team is legit.
I'm looking at the show notes, and I see Lynn Sanity's back with 23 off
the bench. Yeah, 23 off the bench for the
Jeremy Hawks. Okay,
let's calm down. Let's calm down, okay?
I put that in there just for the
Dude, I thought he had 23 off the bench for the Kings. That shows.
Oh, you didn't know where he was.
He's somewhere. He's somewhere in Georgia eating hot wings. He ain't that hot yet.
He's not that hot yet.
Trae Young may got dreads and he may listen to the Migos, but he's not hot.
Trae Young had 14 points, 10 assists, but 8 turnovers and only one 3-point attempt.
The Hawks are, you know, the Hawks are 9-win Bobcats level bad. You know what I'm saying? Like they're just a really bad team. So the Kings, if they consider themselves to be even respectable, that should kick their asses.
You know what? But I'm buying on the Kings. Let's be positive here. I'm buying. Like, do I think they're going to make the playoffs? No, but I think they'll be in the hunt within 3 weeks of the season left.
Okay, there you go, Stu Gods.
Yes. How about that?
Still 11th in the West team.
Okay.
All right, listeners. This is important too. You have only 2 weeks to go get Cotton Bureau merchandise from us. Go to cottonbureau.com. You're going to search Count the Dings. We have 4 great shirts on there. We got pins. We got the golden do-rag pin. We got the shirt. We got the names listed. We got That's a Ding. We got all kinds of the names crossed out of the podcast. We got all kinds of good merchandise, but it's only available for 2 weeks. So go to cottonbureau.com, search Count the Dings, order the shirts, pre-order that stuff. You'll get it pretty soon. All right, now we're going to do 5 minutes with an expert, and our expert is going to be Ethan Strauss of The Athletic, the infamous Ethan Strauss, who took down Nike. Ethan, what's going on?
Yeah, that company, what happened to them?
Just a bunch of losers.
Yeah, that's why I'm wearing Pumas right now. By the way, I want to apologize to everybody. My son is asleep downstairs, so that is why you're hearing the low and slow voice, much less energy.
Velvety. This is velvety, though.
Velvety. Some smooth velvety. Jazz.
You know who else is smooth jazz? Steph Curry. How about that transition? Steph Curry seems to be proving a point through the first 9 games of the season. He's hitting 6 threes a game. He's on pace to obliterate every single record he's ever set. 52% from 3, 33 points a game. Do you sense that there is actually something going on with Steph trying to prove a point, or is this just he's playing well?
I think it's a combination. I don't know. I think he wants to prove a point every time he's out there. I do think that what informs it is he's less concerned about getting Kevin Durant involved. One, because they've had 2 seasons together, and 2, because Kevin Durant might be leaving anyway. So he's just kind of doing his thing. And I also posited another theory, which is that the new rules, or not new rules, but new emphasis on calling fouls off the ball has been best for Steph Curry in particular. And now there just aren't a lot of options when it comes to covering him. So maybe it's not such a surprise that he's absolutely dominating.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because that has been the book on him in the past. We saw it with Matthew Dellavedova. We see it with all kinds of guys of just, hey, just grab and hold him, right? And make him break free. And he, I wouldn't say he's passive in that sense, but he's never in a hurry, or he's never in a rush to go get the ball back, because he trusts everything.
Yeah,
right?
Which was never legal, by the way, as Monty McCutcheon kept insisting to me as I asked him about it. It's just there was never so much off the ball complexity in the NBA. So it just wasn't a huge feature. So it's not legal. So all the NBA is doing right now is saying, by the way, you can't grab people. You can't literally grab people, just like you can't grab them when they have the ball. And we're going to be focused in on that and calling that. And I didn't know this when I looked into it, because I was making the comparison to Ty Law and Peyton Manning, and people got mad because the Colts complained and changed the rules. The NFL actually didn't change the rules back in 2004. It's the same exact situation as we're seeing with the NBA right now. All they did is, oh my God, we didn't really notice that this guy is just grabbing the receivers. We can't be doing that. So we're going to stop that.
We're going to call that now.
Sorry about the AFC Championship game, Colts fans.
But as much as you are a – not to diminish Marcus Thompson, but as much as you are a star scribe of the Golden State Warriors, what you really are now is a gambling expert. Strauss versus the house.
You can say it either way. It's like
either way.
I don't like when people say it's Tara, not Tara. Why can't it be both?
So here's what I think. So your current record is 10-4-1
Actually,
the spread.
It's 12-5-1.
12-5-1. Okay, mm-hmm. And you claim that you went 7-1 in week 3. Who's keeping track of this stuff? How do we know that you're telling the truth?
Well, I put it in the column, number one, and number two, I tweet out the column, and hey, the internet sleuths out there, I think, would catch me in a lie if I was being shady with this. I think they would notice, especially since apparently I have a disturbing amount of people reading this and placing bets with their own money. So
you're winning money for them right now.
Yeah, I don't endorse this because what goes up must come down. So I got some people saying, thanks, you paid for my Athletic subscription, and that's all great. Okay. But quit while you're ahead, people.
Yeah, quit while you're ahead. Tell me what a Jenga hedge is.
Oh, I like this. So to me, is the term I've invented. This is me trying to make fetch happen. Here's what a Jenga hedge is. Here's the idea. And maybe I should specify it. Maybe not all your listeners are into gambling, but let's say who's do you think's the most important player in the NBA to his team? That's a good question.
Let's just say LeBron James.
Yeah, that's okay. So LeBron James. Let's say LeBron James is questionable, meaning he's 50-50 going into a game. And let's say the line for that game means that the Lakers, I'm trying to think about it. Let's say they're going up against a quality team. Let's say the Lakers are
Lakers versus Portland.
Lakers versus Portland. Yeah. And it's a situation where Portland is -4, meaning that Portland has to win by more than 4 for you to win that bet. Now, a Jenga hedge, from my interpretation, is this. It's the idea that take this line right now. Take it right now, because if Portland, you know, if LeBron doesn't play, right? If he doesn't play, you're certain to win that bet. You're almost dead certain to win that bet because he's the Jenga piece. If you pull that piece out, the whole thing comes tumbling down. And guess what? You're kind of hedged because even if he does play, you could easily see Portland winning by more than 4. Like, you could easily see that happening. So to me, it's about looking at the situation and going, okay, is this guy so integral that the team can't win without him? Combined with, it's a situation where even if he does play, they could lose. Because here's what will happen for those who don't know. If they declare pregame that LeBron is going to play, that line is going to reverse on you, and it's not going to be as favorable. So that's what it is. That's the Jenga hedge. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. Now, one last thing before I let you go. I just want to read something from your latest column where you picked the Jazz -5.5 at Minnesota.
This is hilarious. This
says
is hilarious.
Butler is out, as is Jeff Teague. That's a lot of Derrick Rose tonight, I'd hazard.
Yeah, that one took
you were right. Was a lot of Derrick Rose.
It was a lot of Derrick Rose, but not in the way I expected. And that's a situation where sometimes you make a pick and you feel stupid and you feel, oh, man, I mean, I should have seen that coming. Or in this case, I was watching it in the media room with Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue and some other people, and you can't really be too mad about it. It's just a situation where, well, obviously I should have seen it coming that Derrick Rose would score over 50 points against one of the NBA's best defenses. I mean, who couldn't have seen that coming? So
I mean, it's a lock.
You just tip your cap to Derrick Rose, and combined with how, you know, Donovan Mitchell didn't play in crunch time. I would look, if it's a situation where it's the Utah Jazz going up against a Jimmy Butler-less Minnesota Timberwolves,
sure,
and the Jazz are, and it's -5.5 Jazz, so the Jazz have to win by more than 5 points, I'm doing that every time. I'm doing that every time. And salute.
This explanation feels like a Jenga hedge.
It was, you know, it wasn't a Jenga hedge because I knew at the time that Butler wasn't going to play. So at that point, that was already sealed. But it's a situation where you've got to trust your process. And I just think that's a bet I make every time. And if you lose it, you lose it. Salute to Derrick Rose. Now, there are other situations where you lose and sometimes you go, okay, why did I lose?
All you're doing right now is channeling Rosie Perez and White Men Can't Jump. That's all you're doing right now.
About playing Jeopardy?
Sometimes when you win, you really lose. Sometimes when you lose, you really win. Sometimes when you win or lose, you actually tie.
Well, I think there is something to that. I think there is something to that, but it's also that I think sometimes when you lose, you can learn something from the situation. And sometimes when you lose, it's just bad luck and it's really difficult to know the one from the other.
Strauss versus the House on The Athletic. Subscribe to The Athletic. Support Ethan. Support me. And Ethan, thank
support,
you so much.
Support degenerates everywhere.
Support gambling.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
Hey, Zach. Yo. You know what time it is?
Time is it?
Wancho!
That's right. It is Wancho time. Denver Nuggets 110, Cleveland Cavaliers 91. The Denver Nuggets are now 7-1. You know who led that team in scoring tonight?
Wancho!
23 off the bench. Killed the Cavaliers. Jordan Clarkson was the leading scorer for the Cleveland Cavaliers, so that's how you know they lost. Thunder.
Wow, Clarkson.
Yeah, Thunder beat the Hornets 111-107. Westbrook, 29 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds. He struggled early, but he was unstoppable down the stretch of that game. Kemba had 21. Malik Monk had 21. Tony Parker looked good off the bench, but the Hornets just couldn't get stops. They couldn't match Alex Abrines or Dennis Schroeder, who just killed off the bench. When Westbrook's going like that, you know what was a fun matchup was Westbrook versus Kemba. That was fun.
It was
fun. Yeah, two ultra-hyper-competitive cats. Like, it's amazing to watch that.
It's like watching you and Trey go back and forth, you know, New York guy, LA guy.
No, it's not.
But I am on a Kemba Zach LaVine watch for scoring champ.
Oh, I like that. I like that race. And then the Clippers lose to the Sixers 122-113. Joel Embiid was a monster. Ate the Clippers alive. 41 points, 13 rebounds, 4 blocks. Markel Fultz actually looked pretty good in this game. 12 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. 75 combined points for Lou Williams, Tobias Harris, and Danilo Gallinari. But nobody else did anything. Sixers finally look like a team that you can believe in a little bit. It's just against the Clippers, Trey, but Sixers at least look good.
Hey, man. Embiid, stat line of the night.
41-13-4. I'm still giving it to De'Aaron Fox. He's still my guy. Because those Kings, I'm telling you, within the last 3 weeks of the season, they'll be in the hunt.
Hashtag those Kings.
Hashtag those Kings. Check out Thursday's new Nerder, She Wrote. Dave DeFore, Coach Thorpe, SI's Rob Mahoney. Also, BOMM has a Thursday show. The Woke Bros. It's kind of like Pod Save America, but it's for the culture on its new feed, which you can find on your favorite podcast forums, podcast platforms, Woke Bros, or as Waz calls it, Broke Bros. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the Daily Ding, as well as all of our feeds back-to-back in Kian Fahey's NFL Pod, The Interceptable, and of course, the House of Strauss. Thanks for waking up with us. Here's a little new feature we got added to get you going. It's the inaugural final shot. Black Trey, Big Waz, Rob Lopez. Have a good day.
Ding, ding.
Yo, Derek Rose. This is Z-Dog, your worst nightmare.